Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey and Photify. I've had a lot of people ask me recently about the comeback of a lifetime graphics that we're sharing on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. I'm using Photify to create these images right from my phone. I could drop in a Social Geek Radio logo, have it up on social media in a matter of seconds. And our marketing assistant can do the same using logos and GIFs and images that I've already approved. So a tip for marketing pros at Franchise Systems, if you want to give your franchisees and their employees the ability to create great local posts, unique, right there in the store, but you still control the brand, this is the way to do it. And right now, Photify is offering a small business package subscription free for the next 6 months. You can sign up for that right now at photify.pro. Okay, folks, as the comeback of a lifetime continues, we're speaking with a lot of great marketing leaders every Marketing Monday about how their business can pivot and how your business can pivot in this COVID-19 and post-COVID-19 era. Today's guest is Andrea Stone, the Managing Director of Brand Juice. Welcome, Andrea.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm glad you're here, and I want to pick your brain a little bit today about some marketing geekery, but first, let's get a little bit of your background. What's your story?
Yeah, well, I currently am with Brand Juice. We're an agency that specializes in brand strategy, innovation, and design. And our focus is really to help brands mean more. But I'll tell you a little bit about my background and the path I took, because I've spent my whole career in the world of marketing and brands. And my collection of experiences really has shaped my views about the power of brands and what we do today from a brand perspective. So going back a couple of decades, my first toe dip was working for NBC at the Olympics in Barcelona. You know, my first thought, quite honestly, was that a marketing role at the Olympics was really a chance to live abroad and earn money and travel Europe, which of course it did. But it really sparked a passion for me in the power of marketing. And I worked in events promotion there, and I saw firsthand how it was possible to connect dots between communications and experiences. And that concept of merging content and physicality was really powerful. And it really kind of flipped a little switch for me. So fast forward to a slew of roles in marketing. When I returned home to San Francisco, which is where I'm from originally, and I was working in the entertainment and excursion industry, and that time for me really illuminated the importance of details at every touch point and how that can make or break consumers' trust in a brand. And as my interest there continued to grow, I really wanted to expand perspective and experience more in the way of industry. I knew agency life would allow for that diversity. And I'll say to this day, you know, cross-industry perspective really does help with differentiation and opportunity for the brands we work with. There's just so much to be learned outside of any particular category. So I worked with a couple different agencies in the Bay Area. The first one you'll like in the vein of geekery, it was a tech-specific agency. And, you know, remember this was a while back and it was during the dot-com era, which was an unbelievable learning experience, working with all kinds of, you know, powerhouse businesses from computing giants like Hewlett-Packard to some of the very first internet incubators and startups, really for a whole new generation of tech capability. And, you know, back in those days, information access and e-commerce were in their infancy, and things like recommendation engines that are now inherent to how we transact with brands today. And certainly, you know, foreshadowing for advancement in areas like AI that are just so paramount. But it was a huge time in the industry, not only because of that pace of innovation. Technology was really booming to meet and in some cases exceed the needs of an emerging consumer market. And what I really learned during that time was just the monumental shift in how marketing was done. And technology brands had to migrate, you know, from a world of speeds and feeds, and brands had to learn how to connect with consumers and how to understand their needs and educate them and help them embrace a whole new domain, really, of products and services. And then not only create, but sustain those relationships. And so that was all new at that time, and certainly dynamics that continue to be really critical for brands, you know, especially during changing times. Also worked with a worldwide agency called Ogilvy, and that was really valuable from a global business perspective. Really learned a lot about the infrastructure of both business and brands. And over time, though, I knew I wanted to stay close to the work with brands in a really high-touch way. That was possible in a more horizontal structure. So that kind of fast-forwards me to joining Brand Juice back in 2000. At the time, Peter Moraine had founded the company. He came from a background in classic CPG brand management. And that really formed the foundation of the business to start. You know, here we are 20 years later as an agency. We've got deep experience, not only in consumer, but also technology and healthcare. And we intentionally straddle markets, and kind of going back to my point about bringing perspective kind of cross category. We work with clients both in the B2B and consumer landscapes, and we really strive for diversity in business type too. So we work with global brands, you know, on the Fortune 100, as well as startups, sometimes really far upstream, just sort of early stage concept type opportunities. And it really gives us, you know, a unique lens to help brands in adaptive ways. So yeah, our focus as an agency is to help brands mean more. And ultimately what that means is to drive growth. So our range of services really focus on the intersection of business growth and the power of branding. In fact, a client played back to us, you know, they see the impact of brand services as much more than just marketing, marketing fuel, but really a force multiplier on revenues. And we took that as a great compliment, because it's certainly our objective as an agency and what we strive to achieve with all of our clients.
It's where you want to be, and especially if you're focused primarily on healthcare, technology, maybe a couple of other things, that puts you right on the front lines of everything when it comes to branding here in May of 2020. I know you just did a trend report that the agency produced. Tell us a little bit about that. First of all, let's start with why were you looking to do a trend report right in the middle of a time when everything is changing rapidly anyway? And, right. And how did you go about that?
Yeah. I mean, that's a great question. You know, the concept of tracking trends overall is really core to our DNA. At Brand Juice, we're very insights focused, and it's a practice we call future fluence. And it helps bring foresight to brands. So, you know, so often brands lean on hindsight to drive their decisions. So, yeah. So classic metrics like, you know, performance revenues and changes in share, sell-through data, impressions, conversions, click-throughs, all the metrics that really lean on what's already occurred, but they don't always help predict what will happen next.
Yeah, I always say big data like that can predict the past really well.
Right, exactly. And now more than ever, the future is a big question mark.
Yeah.
And so, you know, most brands are really good at doing research and understanding their target customer. And that's just sort of a core kind of strong suit, but what they're not always as close to are what we call macro forces. And that's the trends you're talking about. They're drivers in culture, society, economy. They're all the areas of real life that shape behaviors for all of us, just as human beings and across every industry. So as you mentioned, why now? You know, we do these reports, we're tracking trends chronically. We put out the report a few times a year. We've just launched the spring 2020 edition, and so timely, intentionally put it out in May because of the changes that are so rapidly occurring. You know, we feel like shelf life on content and information has never expired so quickly. Yeah. So it's important. We're trying to help brands access this information in a time where pivot and change is so ever present for all of us. And whether we're working on brand strategies, you know, things like pipelines and messaging platforms or creative campaigns and marketing toolkits, we're always looking to those surrounding dynamics that really help bring the outside thinking in. So yeah, our trends report is called The Ignition, and it's really, as I said, to help brands spot those emerging avenues where they can tap influence and awareness. And it's in some ways the market's fatigued right now with the premise of all things unprecedented and concepts of new normal or next normal. But it's really raising a lot of questions for brands. You know, research shows that consumers have appreciated COVID messaging. You know, it's necessary, it's appropriate. But well over half, they're ready to move on.
Yeah.
And so brands really need to consider, how do they merge, you know, their past equity and their future vision in light of the space in between, which is now.
Have you seen a lot of brands that are just sort of putting out the typical thoughts and prayers messaging and, you know, we're here to help messaging that didn't really fit their brand or didn't really maybe mean as much to the consumers that should be paying attention to that brand?
Yeah, you see sort of all ends of the spectrum in that regard. Consumers are savvy, right? And there's certainly been a surge in COVID messaging that has created kind of a sea of sameness in communication and tonality. And, you know, really any commercial kind of validates that point. And we're all just overly saturated with a lot of noise. And so It is really important that brands are being authentic. They're being very thoughtful with those initial steps they take to figure out where do they need to pivot and how can they best connect with the market in a way that feels appropriate, but doesn't derail them from kind of their North Star, what they know is their long-term vision for their business. And that, you know, that's where our trends report really aims to help. It's industry agnostic by design, and it groups trends into a couple of categories. So we've got lifestyle, we've got health and wellness together, and general business. And throughout all of that, it draws implications that we reference as why it matters. And they're really thought starters for brands, you know, to leverage for their own situations. During this time, that's especially challenging for them. They have a lot of uncertainty about how does their brand relate not only to its past, but to the changing, you know, consumer psychographics, environmental factors, and then just economic constraints that are unfolding real time.
What are some other key findings that you have in the report, either lifestyle things or maybe some of the other categories?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great information. There's a few that sort of rise to the top. You know, the first one is that brand loyalty at shelf really is eroding. This has implications, of course, for retail in all areas. But if you think about the impact on consumers, you know, they're more open-minded to trialing new products and brands. So I think resting on your laurels, so to speak, or brands that were comfortable with their loyalty need to really stay on their toes. You know, when you need toilet paper and there's no Charmin, you'll take whatever there is,
yeah.
Right? So to survive that, brands really need to take a diversified approach to, you know, developing and delivering their revenue streams and distribution of risk. And, you know, behaviors in market are changing. There's more of a look, don't touch, less of an impulse buy mentality. People want to get in and out and grab what they need. And so it's really driving the need to focus on alternative means of communications and promotion. You know, on the technology side, we're seeing fringe technologies really take off. So as systems become overwhelmed, legislation's expanding to support alternative technologies. And it's creating sort of this untapped white space for startups to be taken seriously among some of the major players where previously they weren't contenders. And we're seeing those frame of reference shifts in a lot of categories where brands really need to pay attention to who they consider their competition, right? Think about restaurants are becoming grocery and sundries providers. Beauty and fashion brands are becoming, they're delivering healthcare supplies, right? With sanitation products and masks and things. And so there's just this whole kind of confluence of players and categories. And that's just important to watch. Another one is that experience is really primed to become what you can think of as a new currency in some ways. So post-COVID, you know, predictions are consumers are really going to be pent up with a lot of energy to put towards experiences. And while that's a little counterintuitive, because I think the mindset right now is stay away from contact and from experiences, you know, data shows, I think 70% of consumers are most looking forward to more time outdoors and more reconnecting with each other and with physical space to kind of get a detox in some ways from the digital sphere. So while we're seeing, you know, the growth and the expansion of all the virtual tools, there's also going to be innovation driven in what those experiences can be moving forward.
Yeah, it's almost like there's going to be two sets of people, two sets of consumers that brands can count on. There's going to be the people who are going to run out and go to whatever in-person experience, concert, restaurant, activity, whatever, with you and your kids. Those people are going to run out on day one. And then there's another set of people who, regardless of what happens out there, they might have decided I'm still pretty comfortable staying back and not running out into the middle of a huge crowd for the next 6 months. So it will be very interesting to see which brands sort of pivot toward one or two of those groups. And maybe everyone will be somewhere in between, but it seems like most consumers that we're hearing from right now are either going to be on one extreme or the other extreme. Did you find any of that in the trend report and the surveying that you're doing as far as how people are going to feel about running out to do these experiences?
You know, I think it remains to be seen. What we are seeing is at least sentiment towards moving past the current condition, right? So it always remains to be seen how opinion relates to actual behavior. You know, it's well more than the majority of consumers that state they're ready for messaging, experiences, mindsets that move beyond. And they're ready to kind of go there. And then the question is, you know, how can brands lead them and deliver on those needs? And what will be the spaces in between, so to speak? So the pre and post actions around those experiences that consumers may not be able to resume fully, but there's going to be some version of it. So what does that look like? And what is the role for brands?
I'm glad to hear that. That has kind of an optimistic feel to it. And even if not every consumer is ready to run out and experience something, I think being ready for those consumers and maybe talking about being done with the past and moving forward. You know, here we like to talk a lot about getting ready for the comeback of a lifetime. So I'm on the optimistic side of, I think that's just a good feeling thing. I want my brand to be associated with that forward looking and forward feeling of getting back to, you know, being out and being active. I don't want my brand to be associated with let's stay inside for the next 6 months. I think that could be a killer for a lot of brands.
Right. And at the same time, you know, data shows, I think, you know, 90% of consumers globally recognize their lifestyle will continue to be impacted for many months to come. So there's that as kind of a driver too, right?
Yeah.
So it's a challenging and delicate balance for brands to sort of straddle both. And we're seeing a lot of opportunity for them to take steps and pivot towards those kind of what we think of as hotspots. What are those sort of those challenges today that need to be addressed real time to continue that sort of market engagement?
Yeah, love that. Are you finding there are some brands out there that I don't want to say COVID-19 has been a good thing for them because that's absolutely horrible to think about with people dying and people getting sick. But are you finding some brands, maybe some older brands or some brands that have been a little more tone deaf over the past few years, that this is something that could actually be a good opportunity for them to reboot and rethink how they're serving customers and maybe changing their messaging and changing their branding for the better?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned sort of older brands. When you think about legacy companies like, say, General Mills, Frito-Lay, Campbell's, Kraft Heinz, those sort of classic brands. That group has seen a resurgence in sort of classic or comfort food brands as consumers who, you know, have been trending away from their products to date pre-COVID in favor of more natural kind of progressive options are prioritizing things that were on the back burner before, like comfort, longer shelf life, ease of preparation, maybe cost efficiency. So there is impact in areas like that that I think are unexpected and driving a bit of a resurgence in some areas.
I think it will be interesting to see if those traditional brands that maybe some of us have gone back to, you know, for the macaroni and cheese and, you know, the canned soup and the canned chili kind of stuff over the past few months, how can they update their messaging and their branding to keep those consumers over the next several months and over the next several years, maybe some of us who have gone away from those brands? That to me is going to be fascinating.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about the work you guys are doing with brands. You've created some specific bundles and packages surrounding COVID-19. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, what you just said is actually a great transition to this point. You know, how will brands adapt their message and sort of reimagine or reinvent or sustain, in some cases, those connections with the market? And as brand managers and even business leaders, you know, we've all had to reexamine priorities and think really critically about how can we be more nimble with allocating resources. And many brands, you know, we've been doing this for decades at Brand Juice, and we've seen a lot of sort of ideal scenarios with brand initiatives from kind of strategy through creative activation. And today, not all brands have the luxury of seasons, right, in terms of time, and not to mention the resources. So we've created bundles, and we kind of think of them as sort of bite-sized sprints internally is how we started crafting them. And, you know, they can be executed in as little as 4 weeks. And the reason we created them is that a lot of our conversations with brands were highlighting those emphasis points or those sort of hot spots in terms of where do they need to adapt? How can they act as quickly as they need to respond to today's market changes? You know, there's a concern for brands that if I step back and I re-strategize or I re-concept my creative, I don't have time. By the time that that's done and I'm able to bring it to bear months down the road, well, things will have changed again. Mm-hmm. So what do I do? So we've delivered solutions that are tailored to kind of what we see as the most pressing challenges. And we started with four, and we did this really on. We kind of very quickly launched these about 2 months ago. And the four were risk mitigation, and that's really strategic scenario planning. So helping to drive confidence and risk reduction into brand actions strategically. And then a content strategy bundle, which really is to pivot messaging and touch points. And the way we think about that one is, you know, what is that golden thread that really unites a brand's past to its future, mm-hmm. but is suitable to this time in between? Campaign creation, so reconcepting market-facing presence. And we've talked about the challenges there with the sea of sameness, right? Like mm-hmm. everybody adapted very quickly and a similar message emerged. And then market differentiation, and that's the piece I mentioned with frame of reference shifting. And how can we stay ahead as a brand as incumbents are retreating, new entrants are emerging, and it's all unknown. And then over time, and as we've seen needs continue to emerge, we added two more. One is what we're calling dynamic brand action plans. And that really takes that trend work that I talked about and helps brands actualize it for their business uniquely. So it produces specific activity plans and helps them move from that why does it matter sort of thought starter place into tactical action. And the last one is in-person brand experience. And that's really a way for brands to help deliver on the comfort and ease consumers are craving in physical environments. So as restrictions start to decrease And as we're starting to see some reopening slowly in different geographies and industry types, there's still a need for requirements and social distancing and other health and safety measures. But how can brands reassure consumers with creative touch points that can extend and deliver their brand voice versus kind of the stale, kind of almost clinical or sterile experience that we've all gone through in recent weeks, right? With masked tape, masking tape on the floor and plexiglass barriers between us. And is that an opportunity to extend your brand creatively and carry that voice forward in a way that sustains that relationship, extends the connection, and really importantly brings comfort to your audience? We think there's kind of a real equity opportunity there.
Yeah. You know, as you were saying that, I just had this thought that in this entire COVID-19 time, I've not thought about this before, but you're really talking about how do you make a personal connection with a customer in store when you and the customer are wearing a mask and you've got a big sheet of plexiglass between you. That's a real challenge that I hadn't really thought about that before until you just said that.
Yeah. And really the distraction is a very real thing. Most people want to get that transaction done as quickly as they can. We want to get in and out. Right. Yep. And I think the concept of extending that brand voice has a real digital application as well. We're excited about that one.
I love all of these bundles that you've created because you're doing what you're recommending to brands. And that's really sort of filling a void for right now with what's going on in this insane world, creating something that will be just right for some different types of brands. I think it's offering this up as something for the brands who, like you said, are maybe saying, you know, gee, I just don't have time to pivot my messaging right now. And it's like, then you've got to find somebody to do it, because if you don't, you're going to have a whole lot of time on your hands in the very near future if your brand falls apart. So being able to kind of jump in and help some brands with, you know, maybe it's a short-term thing, maybe it's just a sort of a bite-sized nugget of a messaging pivot. I think that's really, really helpful right now. So, Andrea, I'm going to be back in just a minute to get some contact information if some people want to learn more about these packages or about the trend report. But first, a quick note that today's show is brought to you by Social Joey. I want to thank my team at Social Joey for supporting this podcast and helping our listeners. And I want to remind everybody that if you're using software to duplicate social media posts on multiple franchisee pages, you might be in trouble. Facebook's going to get you. Also, people are talking about syndicated or localized content in place of local content. That's just as bad. Find out more today at socialjoey.com. Andrea Stone, thank you so much for being here today. If our listeners want to learn more, or maybe they want to get some of the content you've been talking about here today, where can we send them?
Yeah, I would welcome their contact. I can be reached on LinkedIn, of course. My email is andrea.stone@brandjuice.com. And certainly our website, I would really encourage anybody interested to go there. Our ideas page has a lot of content they can access, including our full trends report, the Ignition trend report for spring 2020, as well as a lot of other content with really specific guidance and things like, you know, what's the right balance of empathy and practicality? And what is the role of aspiration, which historically is a real critical brand driver, but is that appropriate in these changing times? And so we've got a lot of content there that I hope will be helpful. And I welcome a continued conversation. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here. And I encourage everyone to go check all of that out on the Brand Juice website, especially that trend report. It's really well done. And there's a lot of good information there for everyone. And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio. We are here to help you get yourself ready for the comeback of a lifetime. Copyright 2020, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.